Deuteronomy chapter 21. I want to read my text this morning. It will be Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 10 through 21. And I will give some explanation, that is, historical context, or you might say doctrinal context, as I read this passage, Deuteronomy 21, verses 10 through 21. When thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them into thine hands, and thou hast taken them captive. Now this is only of some.
That's right.
Because some were wiped out completely.
Yes, sir.
But some were taken captive. And seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire unto her, that thou wouldest have her to thy wife. Now, I must stop and say, I don't think the woman is going to be greatly pleased with this.
Yeah.
Do you?
Right on.
But this is one of God's commandments. Then shalt thou bring her home to thy house, and she shall shave her head and pare, that is, trim her nails. She shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thy house, and bewail her father and mother a full month. And after that thou shalt go in unto her, and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. That is, the marriage is to be physically consummated. That's what it's talking about. And it shall be, if thou shalt have no delight in her, how happy she must thou really be.
Hmm?
And it shall be, if thou hast no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will, but thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. That's one command. Here's another. If a man have two wives, is that what it says or not?
Yeah.
Now it doesn't command the man to have two wives. It just says if a man have two wives, and one beloved and another hated. Is that what it says?
That's what it says.
Yeah. And they have borne him children, that is both the beloved and the hated. And if the first son be heir of her, be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. Now you get it. He's got two wives. He really likes one. He don't like the other. That's just the way it is here. But the one he doesn't like very well is the one who had the firstborn son. The firstborn remains the firstborn no matter what the man thinks of the woman. Okay, let me just go on. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. That's the second commandment we have here. Here's the third. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son. Now, not just a stubborn son, because if that were the case, and we were all under law, we'd all be dead as sons. But a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother, now this is God's commandment, lay hold on him. Why? Because he ain't going to want to go.
Exactly.
Hmm? That's what it says, does it not? Lay hold on him, and bring him unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. And here is a particular problem he has. He is a glutton and a drunkard.
Yeah.
He is living off of them and has no regard for their authority over him.
Yes, sir.
And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. Not just a couple whacks.
Yeah.
Not just a couple thumps on the thighs.
Exactly.
Or maybe on the bottom side. take up stones and you beat him with those stones. You throw those rocks at him till he die. You see it? Till he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Note, God does not say, and all Israel will then begin to obey.
No, he doesn't.
But they're going to hear. And they're going to fear. Now, when I first read through this, probably weeks ago, if not months ago, I, of course, was reading through the whole book, and as I got to these three commands, I thought, what am I going to say when it gets to that? But, of course, I quickly passed on by that and went to where I was at the particular time. This is my title, as those of you who get my text every week are aware. Are these, and here's my title, are these three complicated commands? Are they? Are they really three complicated commands? Now, some of you maybe, as I did myself, was wondering, maybe you wondered when I sent you the text. I wonder, how is Christ found in this text? He is found in this text in at least two ways. One, he is the one who was giving Moses this law. He's actually in the text.
Exactly. Yeah.
Matthew chapter 12, Matthew recorded our Lord, and our Lord said this, the Son of Man, so he's talking about himself,
yeah.
The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So he gave the command of the Sabbath day. He is indeed the voice of God. Right. When Moses heard God speak, it could be none other than Jesus Christ speaking, because he is the Word of God.
Amen.
And when God speaks, even when he speaks through prophets or preachers, it is the Son of God who says these words.
Yes, sir.
He's Lord of the Sabbath. He is there. But there's another way in which he's there. The very fact that he is so conspicuously absent makes me know, oh God, if he's not in this text, I'm in trouble. If his person and his grace is not the foundation for my hope, when I read these three commands, my heart condemns me and will not let me go. To the unregenerate, and I suppose I should stop for a moment and explain that. Now, you here probably know, others probably know, but some may not. There are probably some so-called churches, places that profess to be Christian, that never speak about unregenerate and regenerate.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
They never speak about people who are unregenerate or people who are regenerate. Why? Because they don't really care about that stuff. What does it mean to be unregenerate? It means that God Almighty has never moved upon you in free, sovereign, saving grace. You are still where you are, and you are only what you are as you were born in Adam into this world. A regenerate person still has that unregenerate old man, but a regenerate person has been created, and there is a new man. And that person has been conquered by God Almighty. But to the unregenerate, God's law is complicated. I understand why some people say what they say and believe what they believe and think what they think when they read some of these Old Testament commands. I understand why. You know why I understand? Because I'm a fallen man too. Because I'm a sinner too. Now, they don't realize that's why they feel this way.
Yeah.
But unregenerate men, when they read God's commands, they think this. Who does God think he is?
There you go.
Yeah. Who does God think he is? God's law is complicated to the unregenerate. Even archaic to the unregenerate.
Oh, yeah.
It's not refined. Especially like we are in our day. But let me tell you something. I often wonder, are we as refined as we really think we are in this day?
No.
We do a lot worse things than a man that's got two wives today.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? I'm not throwing down on their. There are some people that have more than one wife today. There are some wives who have more than one husband in some tribes in Africa. I'm not throwing off on that. But let me tell you this. Our Lord came along and said this. And He wasn't talking about plural marriages. He was talking about divorce. But He basically said this. God's original ordination is one man and one woman. And the two, not three, the two shall be made one flesh. And that is God's ordained way.
Yes, sir.
And that lets us know that plural marriage does not truly honor God any more than divorce honors God. And I don't, if you're here and you've been divorced, I understand your plight. But it's a sin.
Sure. Yes,
sir. It's a sin.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a sin, but I found out my spouse was unfaithful. Well, there's your fornication wrote into the law, right? But you remember what Christ said about it? The reason Moses gave you that law, that you had the right to put away a wife because you found out she was unfaithful before you were even married, was because of the hardness of your own hearts. Now, isn't that what our Lord Jesus Christ said?
That's what He said.
Somebody says, well, but that just says, archaic, even, dare I say it, they even, an unregenerate person even thinks that God's law is barbaric.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
Barbaric. Well, if it is, God is barbaric.
There you go.
Because this is God's holy law. Most of what is called Christianity today is trying to apologize for God.
Right.
At best, at worst, they're denying who God really is.
Right.
They're denying who God really is. God's law is what? I'm not going to read it because of time. 2 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul calls the law this. It is a letter that killeth.
Yes, sir.
It is a letter that killeth. It is. It is the ministration of death.
That's right.
It is that law that is written and engraven in stones. So that lets us know it's the Ten Commandments as well.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments, and He calls it the ministration of condemnation.
Amen.
Sadly, the unregenerate person reads this law and all they see is complication. Archaic, even barbaric. Ah, but the regenerate man or woman reads this law and says, woe is me.
Yeah.
Woe is me.
Exactly.
Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that to every heart that's not turned to the Lord, a veil is over their eyes.
Yeah.
They can't understand this law.
You're right.
When Moses is read, a veil is over their faces. The law, my brothers and sisters, still shows me my inner corruption in Adam.
Yes.
It still condemns my flesh.
Oh, yes.
It still condemns my flesh. The unregenerate, I'm not going to explain that again, but the unregenerate, they read the law and their corrupt, twisted minds demand of God that He have the same sense of their morality, the same sense of their fairness, the same sense of their emotionalism, the same sense of their religion. Am I telling you the truth or not? I am telling you the truth. This is the way it is. Fallen man, that includes me and you outside of Jesus Christ. Apart from regeneration, we're the same way. We read these laws and we think, but God should be more like me. That's what we really think, even when we don't say it.
I'm quite
a moral person. When I did anything, I only did it to myself or others who like to do it too. I wasn't trying to get anybody that didn't want to do it to do it with me. Huh? You ever found yourself justifying yourself through that? Oh, how quick we try to justify the flesh, even after God saves us.
You're
right. when somebody says something that just pushes your button, we automatically try to justify the flesh.
You're Right.
Mm. Why? That's called corruption, yep. Depravity, sinfulness. Hear what God says. Turn to Psalm chapter 50. Hear what God says. Psalm chapter 50. Joe, Paul, myself, and a few others. When we stand in a place, a public place like this, we seek to declare who God is, as He is, without apology. Even Mason, if I can't make it always fit together in a nice puzzle, that once I've put all the pieces together, we get this sweet little beautiful picture. Hear what God says, Psalm 50 and verse 16. But unto the wicked, who are the wicked? Of course, most people think that's that child molester down there. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Or that's that old drunk underneath the trestle, sleeping on a piece of cardboard with an old rag and a bottle of wine in his hand. Well, that may well be true. But who is the wicked? The wicked are the unregenerate.
Yes, sir.
The wicked are the unregenerate. And they may even be moral people. But they're still wicked. But unto the wicked, God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, and that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Who are you to take my word and tell me what it ought to say, what it ought to be, what it ought to do? That's what he's talking about. Seeing that thou hatest instruction and casteth my words behind thee. We know better than God.
That's it.
Hmm? Isn't that what the unregenerate are in effect truly saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Hmm. So verse 16 lets us know this is the unregenerate. They may be moral or immoral. They may be sensual or they may be religious, but they're still called wicked. Verse 18 lets us know this. They decry. Think about it. Let me give you an example of it. There are some today who decry. Now, you get angry with me, whatever you want, because you don't know where I really stand. I'm just going to give you what's going on.
Yeah.
Today, there are some people who are decrying denial of access into the U.S. is cruel.
Yeah.
Cruel. You've got to let them be little babies cross that border down there at the south. You've got to, or that's cruel. That's mean. That's heartless. And them same people stand for the murder of little unborn babies by the thousands.
Yep. You're right.
That's what God's talking about.
Yeah.
You talk your talk. You say God's so mean, God's so hard, but you look at yourself.
Exactly.
And He's talking to me by nature.
That's right.
He's talking to you by nature and you out there by nature. That's right. That's right. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Now why? Think about what he's saying. You come from the same loins and the same womb. And you sit there and dog him like he's bad. You're from the same stock.
Exactly.
Huh? As the old preacher once said, an apple don't fall too far from the tree. And let me tell you, I've been guilty of you. You point your finger at your rebellious children. They come from your loins. They come out of your belly, mothers. There's your Happy Mother's Day message.
You're right.
These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. And God often does.
Yes, sir.
I mean, people think, well, if that was bad, if it was really bad, God just come down and stop it. No.
Yes,
no.
That's right.
No. And I kept silence. Thou, here it is. Here's the, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I'll show you different one day. I ad-libbed that,
yeah.
But that's what he goes. I'll show you different one day. I pray God he shows me in this day.
Yes.
And not in that great day to come.
Yeah.
I pray so. This is to Isaiah 55, what God says in Isaiah 55. I must move along. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake his way. If your morality is your way, then get rid of your morality.
You're right.
If your immorality is your way, then forsake your immorality.
Yes, sir.
I don't have more. Look. The unrighteous man is thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And that's a promise if you forsake your way.
Exactly.
But then look, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. That's why you got to forsake all of our ways.
Exactly.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Moral or immoral, sensual or religious, consider these words of the old gospel preacher. We must repent of our sins. That's what we do. We must repent of our sin. That's what we are. And we haven't commenced to repent yet until we repent of our best deeds. And that is the truth of God, folks. That's the truth of God. You have my title, Three Complicated Commands? Yes, complicated and unfathomable to some. I'm not trying to. I didn't preach this, and I didn't start to teach this and try to help everybody just understand God, because we cannot. Our whole way of thinking and being and doing is opposed to His absolute holiness. We are truly indeed, as we are by nature, a stench in God's nostrils. We are that rotting carcass you smell as you go down the road, heated up in the hot sun. And it just makes your energy want to revolt. You've heard, you've got my title, Three Complicated Commands. Yes, it's complicated to some, but death and life are complicated and they're incompatible.
Yes, sir.
This law was about a bunch of dead people,
exactly.
Spiritually speaking.
Yeah.
Even though it was given to a covenant people.
Yeah.
They say there were millions of Jews, of Israelites in this day. But there were very few true believers amongst those hordes. Amongst those hordes. And it's sad to say, but it's probably still the same thing today. Most churches are probably filled with unregenerate people. And that includes this little small group here, that there are some who maybe think they got it. And they've never been given it. And Paul and Joe and myself this week try to preach the same God, the same gospel, the same Christ, just waiting on God to open an eye and open an ear and open a heart. Now, here's my subject. The difference between law and grace is immense. It's immense. We talk about law and grace not mixing, and we often get it up like this. Yeah, man, it's like this. You understand what I'm saying? We do this, but that really don't represent it. You know, Mason, I can't even stretch far enough to get him away. The difference between law and grace is immense. Compare law to grace. Paul said this, Galatians 3:21-29. I'll summarize. For if a law could have been given which could have given life, then verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the law cannot give life. It's not a way of life. It is a way of death. It is death, 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 condemnation. And if you read the law and you don't see that, you got a blinder over your face.
Yeah, you're right.
A blinder over your face. Compare justification before God. Galatians 3, and I want to read that one real quick. Galatians chapter 3, and listen to what Paul says. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So the law curses, right? For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law. And here's the big in the sight of God. We may justify ourselves by trying to conform to some of these laws and do pretty good at it. But we're talking about in God's sight. In the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by faith. So you don't even walk by the law. You live. You don't live by the law, because the law has to do with death and the flesh. And the flesh can only walk contrary to God. But we live, how? For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yes. Amen.
I read those three laws and I say, I'm guilty of them.
Yep.
And if I had a son that was a rebellious, gluttonous drunkard, I would not want him killed with rocks.
You're right.
Hmm?
You're right.
Hmm? But God said to do it.
Yes, sir.
Yes or no?
Yes,
aren't you glad Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law? Huh? Aren't you glad? Do I want the holy God to deal with me strictly by the law? If you do, you're blinded. You've got that veil over your face.
You're right.
You're blinded. You don't see what God's law says. You don't. Not only do you not see what it says, you don't see who God is. Because that law flowed from the heart and mind, and person and character, and perfections of a thrice holy God.
Yes.
I, with Job, need a daysman. Somebody to step in the gap.
That's right.
Hmm?
Yes.
Because when I read this law, I find out there's a big gap between me and God. And I need a daysman, someone that can lay his hand on me, as one preacher has said, and not be defiled by touching me.
Yeah.
And somebody else who can lay his hand on God and not be destroyed. And that person be a man.
Yes, sir.
Only the God-man could do that. And then bring me to God in himself. There's a daysman. I with Benjamin need a surety. Benjamin was in a strait. Remember that? Where was the cup? Where was Pharaoh's cup? In Benjamin's sack. Somebody said Benjamin wasn't guilty. Didn't make a flip. Joseph said he was.
Yeah.
Did he not? Because it's in your sack.
Yeah.
I need one to stand, to sit, to work, to believe, to serve, to obey, to strive on my behalf.
Amen.
All the while, I still want to stand and sit and work and believe and serve and strive. But I can't do it as God demands it. Even in my Christian life. Even in my Christian life. Oh, Christ. Oh, God's Christ. The law giver. My only hope is you satisfied that law on my behalf.